This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Ralph Jarl and Andrew Lester? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the alleged crime, then offer my analysis. This case takes place in Kansas City, Missouri in 2023. It involves a 16-year-old high school junior named Ralph Jarl and an 84-year-old retired aircraft mechanic named Andrew Lester. On Thursday, April 13, 2023, Ralph Jarl was sent to pick up his younger twin brothers at a friend's house. He did not have his cell phone with him. The friend lived at Northeast 115th Terrace, but Ralph mistakenly drove to a house on Northeast 115th Street. This house was occupied by Andrew Lester. Ralph arrived at about 9:40 p.m. The distance between the correct address and Andrew's house is only about a block. Residents of this area have said that the street names are extremely confusing and people regularly end up at the wrong address. Ralph approached the front door of Andrew's house and rang the doorbell. The house had an interior main door and an exterior glass storm door. Both of these doors were locked. As Ralph was standing outside the house, not far from the front door, Andrew opened the interior main door and shot Ralph twice with a Smith & Wesson model 1888 .32 caliber revolver. The bullets were fired through the glass of the storm door. Ralph was struck in the head and in his upper right arm. Ralph ran away from Andrew's house. He went to two different houses, but no one helped him. Finally, neighbors rendered assistance and called 911. The police arrived at 9:52 p.m. Ralph was taken to the hospital. The police approached Andrew's house and made contact. He gave them consent to search his house. They found the revolver with two spent cases in the cylinder chambers. The remaining cylinder chambers contained live cartridges. Ralph survived the shooting. He had surgeries in the hospital and was released on April 16. He is expected to make a full recovery. With this incident, there are two stories, the story that Ralph has to offer and the story that Andrew has to offer. Let's first take a look at Ralph's story. Here's what happened according to him. He mistakenly visited Andrew's house believing that's where his brothers were. He exited his vehicle, walked up to the front door, and rang the doorbell. Ralph waited in silence for somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes. He could hear someone moving around inside the house. The front door opened. Ralph saw a man holding a gun. This man would later be identified as Andrew. At no point did Ralph touch the storm door. Andrew shot him in the head and Ralph fell to the ground. While there, Andrew shot him again, this time in the arm. After the shooting, Andrew said, "Don't come around here." Ralph ran away and eventually obtained assistance. Now moving to Andrew's account of what happened. Andrew had just gone to bed when he heard the doorbell ring. He opened the door and saw a black male who he believed was 6 feet tall. This, of course, was Ralph, who was actually 5'8". Andrew said that Ralph pulled on the locked storm door. Andrew was afraid. He opened fire with his revolver within a few seconds of opening the interior main door. There were no words spoken between Andrew and Ralph during the entire incident. He said that Ralph ran away after the shooting. Andrew told the police that the shooting was the last thing he wanted to do, but he was scared to death because of the teenager's size and his own age and inability to defend himself. Andrew believed he was protecting himself from a physical confrontation and could not take the chance of this person getting into his house. The police said that Andrew was visibly upset and repeatedly expressed concern for the victim. Andrew Lester was charged with felony assault and armed criminal action. He surrendered on April 18 and was released on bail. He is facing life in prison if convicted. Now moving to my analysis. This case has understandably attracted a lot of attention. Some people believe that racism was involved. For example, the prosecutor said the case had a racial component. Other people believe that considering Andrew's age, maybe this is more about some type of impaired cognition and was not racially motivated. Pretty much everybody agrees that Andrew did something wrong, but was his behavior criminal, and what was his motivation? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Andrew was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. There is no question that Andrew shot Ralph twice through the glass of a storm door. Ralph was not armed and never represented a threat to Andrew. He was simply at Andrew's house by mistake. By every account, Ralph did not cross the threshold into the house. Ralph denied grabbing the handle of the storm door, but even if he did, that does not justify the use of deadly force. It is not unusual for a person visiting a house to open the storm door when the occupant of the house opens the interior door. In addition, the storm door was locked. Therefore, Ralph could not have opened it anyway. If Andrew was so worried that Ralph was an intruder, why did Andrew open the interior door? He decreased his level of protection by doing so. He should have left the interior door closed and locked. Andrew could have called 911 if he was frightened. This would have been a bit of an overreaction under the circumstances, but it's a lot better than opening the door and shooting someone. Andrew opened the door with the gun in his hand. What if Ralph wasn't there, and instead this was a police officer? Andrew could have been shot. Answering the door with a gun in one's hand is not a peaceful move. This makes it seem like Andrew was looking for trouble. He was being overly aggressive. Under Missouri law, a person cannot claim self-defense unless there was a reasonable fear of deadly force or assault. Andrew may have been afraid, but his fear was not reasonable. A person cannot use deadly force because someone's ringing their doorbell. People ring doorbells all the time without being shot. One could even argue that not getting shot is one expected result when ringing a doorbell. Moving to the exculpatory factors, Andrew did not initiate the meeting between him and Ralph. He had just gone to bed when the doorbell rang. 9:40 p.m. is a little late to have somebody ring the doorbell. Andrew had every right to be a little concerned. A witness said that they heard a vehicle pull into Andrew's driveway and thought to themselves that it was out of the ordinary for Andrew to have a visitor that late at night. After Ralph was shot, one of the neighbors that he ran to did not open the door right away because they were not sure if Ralph was the victim or the perpetrator. It wasn't just Andrew who's concerned about people being in the area that late at night. It is possible that Andrew was in a state of confusion because he had just gone to bed. When people are woken up by something unexpected, their risk for exercising bad judgment is elevated. There's a period of a few minutes after somebody gets up where they may be confused. Given Andrew's age, it is possible that some type of cognitive impairment may have been a factor. Statistically, about 40% of 84-year-olds have some type of cognitive impairment. His age also could have contributed to an enhanced feeling of vulnerability due to a limitation in functioning. About 60% of 84-year-olds have some type of disability. When considering all the factors, do I think that Andrew Lester was guilty? Yes, I think he was probably guilty. There's nothing about the shooting that could be considered self-defense. If it turns out that cognitive limitations played a role, I don't think it changes Andrew's culpability that much. Gun owners who find themselves becoming limited have the responsibility to adjust their environment to maintain safety, even if that means selling their firearms or having someone else take care of them in a safe place. I believe that Andrew may have felt threatened, but this was a distorted interpretation of the events. Feeling a threat is not enough to use lethal force. This is about what is reasonable. Would a reasonable person believe that they were under threat because somebody was standing at the front door of their house? In almost every instance, the answer would be no. Moving to the next question, what was Andrew's motivation? Why did he shoot Ralph? Was it racism or something else? As I mentioned, the prosecutor stated that there was a racial component, but they did not offer evidence to support this claim. There are a few factors that could have played a part in Andrew's decision to fire his weapon. Perhaps Andrew developed an irrational fear of young black males. Maybe Andrew really didn't like being woken up and he reacted in anger regardless of race, like he would have been upset no matter who was there. Perhaps Andrew was paranoid in general, and a late-night visitor was enough to push him over the edge. There was a sign at his house that said, "This property is protected by surveillance cameras," and he had a no soliciting sign next to his door. This house didn't exactly have a welcoming feel to it. Maybe this entire incident was age-related. There's just no way to know his motive. If I had to guess, I would say that race was probably involved, although proving that would be challenging. What punishment do I think is fair in this case? Under the circumstances, probably about 15 years in prison, although when factoring in Andrew's age, the question becomes somewhat academic. A more relevant question might be, should he spend the rest of his life in prison? The answer is probably yes. A person who is capable of shooting someone through a storm door for no reason is too dangerous to be free in society. Now moving to my final thoughts. What lessons can be learned from this case? This case started with a teenager who accidentally went to the wrong house, a completely innocent mistake, which was met with gunfire that could easily have killed him. I think the lesson here is that behind any random door in America, a person never knows what they might find. Just about anything could be lurking behind that door. Impulsivity, racism, paranoia, bad judgment, aggression, lack of functioning, confusion, hatred, and maybe even a person looking for any reason to be violent.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.